Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. Chapter 25. Perseverance in rejecting the subjection to sin, and the desire for a life according to the heavenly righteousness after receiving the gift of righteousness. In addressing the previous chapter or referring to the first part about life after receiving the gift of righteousness, we mentioned that the justification provided by God in Christ Jesus is unique, valid for all times of human life, and regarding which nothing needs or can be added, except to accept or receive it through the manner in which it is offered by the Lord. In Christ, the justification of the past, the present, and of the future is available to anyone who believes that Christ is the only begotten Son of the living God who came in the flesh into the world and who died for all sinners so that all may be justified together with him in his resurrection, an aspect that remains equally applicable even to a person's justification after one has already received Christ as the Lord in his or her heart. However, in the face of the fact that Christ has already passed through death in behalf of all people or has already manifested the provision for the justification of all human beings. And yet, that the individual who believes in the salvation of the Lord can add nothing to his or her justification other than continuing to persevere in his or her faith in God and the gift of righteousness, yet a series of other questions have been raised about the need for a person to live and walk indeed in accordance with the heavenly righteousness and the real need for one to abstain from a life of association with sin. The fact that the justification provided by Christ encompasses aspects of the past, the present, and the future of a person who still lives on earth, and the fact that this justification does not require or accept human works for an individual to attain it, but only that a person believes in it and receives it in the heart, has also been a reason for generating some doubts or even very distorted propositions about how a person justified by God is called to live and walk in the world after accepting the justification granted by the Lord. In their various attempts at action, the world and the powers of darkness first seek to act so that people do not even come to know the fact that Christ died in their place to provide them with eternal justification. However, when this fact can no longer be concealed, the powers of darkness and the world that lies under the sway of the wicked one seek to distort people's understanding about the justification granted by God in Christ Jesus. In their misleading propositions, when they cannot hide all truth about one aspect, the world and the powers of darkness seek to make partial use of the truth in order to conceal or omit other parts of it. Thus, the world and the powers of darkness seek first to conceal that the justification provided by God in Christ is for all people, and that it even continues to extend to those who already received the gift of righteousness in their hearts, and who, therefore, do not need to return to the vain attempts of remaining justified by human works. On the other hand, however, the world and the powers of darkness seek to lead people to a line of thoughts at another extreme, where they try to lead them to the corrupted concepts that deceitfully propose that since people already have a provision of eternal justification in Christ, they could also continue to sin freely without incurring the risk of becoming subject to reap the consequences of their subjection to sin. And this line of thoughts that propagates the idea that the justification provided in Christ also serves as a justification for people to continue to indulge in sin. And yet, proposing that this attitude will not lead them to become subject to the consequences of this surrender, follows the same line of propositions that seek to distort the understanding of God's grace by falsely claiming that if salvation is granted by God's grace, there is no need for a person to depart from a life subject to sin. Aspect discussed more broadly on the subject on the gospel of God's grace. We also emphasize here that the proposition of the kind of thinking mentioned above is not new. This sort of ideas sought to entangle people from the beginning of the time of the introduction of the Christian life and continues to try to do so repeatedly throughout the history that follows the coming of Christ in the flesh into the world. Already in the early years of the Christian life in the world, Paul noted the questioning of several Christians about the point above in reference, And, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he answered this question to those who had this doubt about it, as follows. Romans 5, 20-6, 23. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, or even though God has already made a fully satisfying provision in Christ Jesus so that people may be delivered from slavery to sin, if an individual continues to insist on remaining under the yoke of sin, thus rejecting the provision of deliverance offered by the Lord, this person also chooses to stay under the consequences that may come from his or her insistence or deliberate choice of being subject to sin. In their corrupted propositions about what the gift of God's righteousness offers, the world and the powers of darkness seek to distort or hide the fact described by the Apostle Paul that the deliberate choice to submit to sin puts a person back in the path of the consequences of this subjection, not because there is no provision for one's deliverance and forgiveness, but because one chooses the option of life under the yoke of sin despite the provision that can deliver him or her from this slavery, an aspect also mentioned by John as follows. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. If a person insists on staying on the path of destruction and perdition after one has been appropriately informed about Christ's work on the cross of Calvary, about the free availability to him or her of the gift of righteousness, and on what awaits him or her if one remains on the path of perdition, one also chooses to be subject to reap the consequences that are pertinent to the way that leads to perdition. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Christ's work on the cross of Calvary exposed the cruelty of sin and the way of perdition, and also manifested a fully satisfying provision for people to receive deliverance from slavery to the path of destruction. But Christ's work on the cross of Calvary has not eliminated the way of perdition and the possibility of people continuing to choose it even after the deception of this path has already been widely exposed. In the crucifixion of Christ, it has been shown that sin is not intimidated in taking as a victim any person who allows it to do so, for this is part of the character of sin's actions. And although the provision for the deliverance of all sinners has already been manifested in a fully satisfactory way in Christ Jesus, the power of deception that remains associated with sin should never be seen lightly. Still, in other words, also under the claim that the justification God has provided in Christ has already paid the debt of the sins of humankind and that, therefore, people could supposedly surrender more and more to subjection to sin without suffering the consequences of this attitude, the world and the powers of darkness seek to keep hidden or distorted the fact that the justification already provided by God is also presented by the Lord through the gospel or as an offer, which, in turn, implies that the receiving of its benefits also has to go through a person's choice of accepting it and remaining in faith regarding this justification. Since faith in the gift of the heavenly righteousness is the essential work of an individual to become associated and remain associated with the provision of justification offered to him or her freely by the Lord to be saved from slavery to sin. The attempt of the world and the powers of darkness, through the proposition that a person supposedly can surrender to sin without being subjected to the more significant consequences of this attitude, seeks to undermine precisely the faith that a person needs to remain free from slavery to sin and its most lasting effects. When some people lightly pass on the corrupted idea that subjection to sin can no longer impute damaging results to those who practice it, and this, because they claim that Christ justified all on the cross of Calvary, they forget that one of the aspects that subjection to sin may impute to the people who submit to it is the condition of spiritual blindness or deceit. And in turn, under the condition of spiritual blindness, sin may go so far as to make people forget that they depend on the willingly choice for the gift of righteousness to receive and abide in the salvation that the Lord offers through it. Though a Christian may stumble over some sin, he or she is still justified by the unique work of Christ if he or she repents and does not depart from the faith in the justification by the gift of the heavenly righteousness. However, if this Christian continues to grant space in his or her life for sin, the deception that is associated with subjection to sin may lead him or her to harden the heart to the point of forgetting that one needs to continue to believe in Christ to be eternally justified, or to the point of making him or her turning back to the thought that one must perform works of justification to reach salvation. And so, one begins to enter an extremely dangerous path. After Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, the fight of sin against people's lives is more focused on trying to keep them blind to what Christ has done for them and trying to keep them from the simplicity of the justification in Christ. Trying to deceive them, among other things, also through propositions that aim to lead people to the hardening and the blindness of the heart so that they forget that the choice for the gift of righteousness is personal and so that they do not pay attention to the fact that the benefits of the gift of justice do not automatically remain over those who forget it or depart from it. The lack of attention to what is due to the gift of righteousness or the forgetfulness of what remaining in it provides to people is also one of the targets behind the propositions that falsely claim that people can continue to sin and yet be exempt from the consequences of this attitude, which is why we also remember below the following texts. He Hebrews 3:12-13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. 2 Peter 1:8-9. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. After Christ's work on the cross of Calvary, even though sin no longer has the same conditions of dominion over sinners as it operated before, the powers of darkness know that ultimately what drives a person to condemnation is not only the yoke of sin, but the abstinence or withdrawal of a person from the source of life and the gift of righteousness by which the newness of life is granted. No Christian, therefore, should regard sin lightly, for as commented above, a return to subjection to sin may lead a person who associates with it to deceit or to forget how central is the acceptance of the gift of righteousness and to remain in it for the present and the eternal spiritual justification. Even after being exposed and condemned on the cross of Calvary, sin still has the power to oppress and enslave a person who allows it to do so. Although the working of sin has been widely unraveled and condemned by the coming of Christ in the flesh into the world, it can still lead a person who insists on being subject to it to meet severe damage to his or her life. Although sin has been exposed to shame and has been condemned by the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, the devil still goes on trying to deceive people and corrupt their minds so that they do not receive the gift of righteousness or that they do not remain in faith in the heavenly justification after they have received it. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Repeating, then, we highlight that the proposition that the Christian can indiscriminately sin after one has accepted Christ, on the assumption that his or her justification is made forever, is an extremely dangerous and harmful proposition, since it omits the aspect that sin still is powerful to harden and deceive a person who renders oneself to it, and this, to the point where one may draw back from the faith in the justification by which one is saved. Once a person enters the way that works against his or her faith in the justification granted by Christ, one also enters the path of the danger of no longer remain united to the one in whom one can find eternal salvation and even the Lord's goodness so that one may find the place of repentance when he or she incurs subjection to sin. Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Therefore, bearing in mind that the justification manifested by Christ has been provided for all and for all times, but also that salvation is granted to those who choose to associate with this justification and remain associated with it, it is evident that God wants people to choose to walk in the way that strengthens their faith in the gift of righteousness rather than on the path of the propositions that seek to destroy the precious faith they have received in the heart. As the Lord also urges us in the next verses below. Jude 1:3-4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who fear God, With the fear granted by the Lord, the thought of wanting to continue serving sin and freely associating with sin should be kept as far away as the thought of considering that one can overcome sin by one's own works or strength. The so-called good works, when done with the intention of obtaining the justification of the one who does them, may become one of the most wicked deeds that a human being can do, and despite that they may have the appearance of godliness, they may turn into sins of great obscurity and darkness because they seek to reintroduce the thought that humans can provide their very justification, thus trying to make Christ's sacrifice a vain and unnecessary sacrifice. However, it is also not the contempt for good works or the contempt for a life of holiness that is expected of the one who has been justified in Christ. Attempts to achieve justification before God through human works or by human efforts of sanctification may come to express some of the vilest and most profound propositions of sin, and which, often, enslave people even stronger and more intense than other carnal sins performed in the world. However, it is also not because a person has been justified by faith in the unique work of Christ that one now has God's endorsement to surrender again to a life of subjection to sin. Thus, the convergence to the point that the justification of the Christian and the maintenance of this justification is not through his or her works, but through perseverance in the faith in the work of Christ, together with the point that the Christian should not surrender to sin even though one's sins have already been justified, is a challenging aspect to understand about the Christian life, but which, at the same time, is also one of the most beautiful points in life after receiving the gift of righteousness. God knows that we are made of dust, that we have inherited from Adam a corrupted carnal nature, that we are living in a world that lies under the sway of the wicked one, and that in the flesh we are still imperfect or under risks of stumbling. And in order not to be paralyzed by the fear of committing an offense or being destroyed at every stumbling, the Lord has already justified us before so that we may walk or proceed with confidence in the instructions He gives us, but this, God has done to help us so that we may increasingly advance in the newness of life that is available to us in the Lord, and not for a return to a life of subjection to sin. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 John 5:3-4. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Psalms 103:8-22. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children. To such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When an individual receives the gift of righteousness in his or her heart, the Lord continues to see this person according to his mercy and long-suffering, or likewise a compassionate father who is ready to help his children. However, this is very different from proposing that God saves people regardless if they will or will not persevere in the path of the heavenly righteousness, for along with the justification of one's sin, a redeemed person also has at his or her disposal in the Lord a whole new condition to be able to live and to walk according to the heavenly gift which was freely given to him or her. Along with justification, a person who receives it in one's heart also obtains the condition of becoming a son of the heavenly Father. And it is according to this new condition that a person is called to live and walk in the world, and not on the pretense proposition that one does not need to resist sin, as if the justification of the gift of righteousness would protect this individual indiscriminately from the consequences of a voluntary choice for a return to subjection to sin. There are many texts of the scriptures that oppose the whole line of corrupted thoughts that propagate the idea that the one who has once received justification can return to the subjection of sin and yet be free from the consequences of this attitude. As well as there are many texts showing that to choose to return to subjection to sin is no longer necessary in the face of the incomparably better gifts that the Lord makes available to those who choose to walk the path that is according to the heavenly righteousness. 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Ephesians 5, 1, 2, 8-10, and 14-17. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Therefore he says, Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The conclusion we express here, therefore, is that the Lord who gave his own life to rescue us from sin, surely also wants us to depart from all subjection to sin, and he wants us to do so through him and his righteousness so that it may also be known that only the heavenly righteousness grants the necessary strength and means that enable that a justified person may truly overcome the temptations of sin. After a person receives justification in Christ Jesus, God does not want a person to be able to live a life of complete absence from sin through one's own efforts, which we have already seen as not being possible to achieve while an individual still lives in the present world. However, this also does not mean that a person should simply surrender oneself to a life of submission to sin, for along with the gift of righteousness, one has also been granted the love of God and the fear of the Lord that enables him or her to live according to God's will and, as a result, also abstain more and more from sin. Jeremiah 32, 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. A person truly born again from the grace of God does not conform to surrender to the practice of sin, for the seed which God has deposited in him or her, when he or she received the gift of righteousness, draws this individual increasingly to a life ever more in conformity with the righteousness of the Lord and more distant of subjection to the working of sin. The position in which a person is accepted before God is the position of faith in the justification through Christ Jesus, but because one understands the benefit of the fellowship with God that this justification has bestowed upon him or her, and because one realizes that sin is contrary to everything that comes from God, a Christian, or the one who has truly received the gift of righteousness, is also called by the Lord to take pleasure in turning away from the practice of sin. Proverbs 28, 13-14. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. 1 John 1, 5-2, 2. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. Finally, in this chapter, we understand that to say that the just shall live by faith as well encompasses the fact that the individual who through faith has been justified from sin also receives a genuine yearning of not being associated with sin and, at the same time, begins to have a real longing to do works according to the heavenly righteousness without fear of living and walking in them. For he or she realizes that the Lord is with him or her to give the necessary support and even the continuity of forgiveness if one only remains steadfast in the faith in Christ Jesus. Psalms 37:28. For the Lord loves justice, and does not forsake his saints, they are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Psalms 37:23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. 1 John 2:29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.